Welcome to Twisted Tendrils, the podcast where we give horrific writing advice. I am your host, Laura Nash. Welcome to Twisted Tendrils, Horrific Writing Advice. Episode 7, 5 Horror Subgenres and What They Bring to the Table. How diverse is the horror genre, and why might you want to expand your reading and writing tastes? All that and more coming up. If you have any further thoughts on the subject, please send them to me on Twitter, at LauraNettles4. In the book Writing in the Dark, Tim Wagner goes over a plethora of the horror subgenres, breaking them down into major and minor categories. Here is his list of 10 major subcategories. Supernatural horror, psychological horror, realistic horror, quiet horror, extreme horror, literary horror, cosmic horror, erotic horror, body horror, and surreal horror. He also lists 18 minor categories of horror. There's YA, dark fantasy, the weird, bizarro, pulp, creature feature, transgressive, gothic, humorous, apocalyptic, survival, folk, sci-fi, small town slash country slash urban, social horror, religious slash satanic horror, supernatural thriller, dark crime slash dark suspense slash dark mystery. Today, I thought we could go over 5 of them. Supernatural horror, psychological horror, cosmic horror, sci-fi horror, and gothic horror. What are they? Examples of books and media in these categories. What they bring to the table of horror, and why you might want to try your hand at writing it. Let's start with supernatural horror. One of the more common ones, and what most people think of at first. Tim Wagner defines it wonderfully. There's usually only a single element of dark magic that intrudes upon our world that violates what we believe to be reality. One ghost, one cursed object, one type of monster, etc. He clarifies that if you have more than one supernatural manifestation, it veers more into fantasy. He seems to merge supernatural and paranormal into one genre. Masterclass defines supernatural horror as having to do with matters of God, the soul, archangels, and resurrection. They differentiate it from paranormal horror, which deals with things outside the normal scientific understanding of the natural world. Though the paranormal genre may include supernaturalist elements, this fiction genre generally includes creatures that have been popularized by folklore, fairy tales, and popular culture, such as fairies, aliens, shapeshifters, and the undead. Here are the main differences. Paranormal refers to the idea that there are certain phenomena that are outside the realm of scientific understanding, but could potentially be explained by science one day, even if the chances are slim. The paranormal genre includes creatures like zombies, werewolves, aliens, and ghosts, as well as a phenomena like telepathy and time travel. Supernatural refers to the phenomena that are forever outside the realm of scientific explanation, such as God, the afterlife, and the soul. I have written a mixture of both paranormal and supernatural. Here's one for more supernatural. It's one of the paragraphs of The Color of Salt. I describe the experience of being possessed by something higher than an angel and having all your sense of self burned out of you by the smell of bread. Flash. The intoxicating smell of bread assaulted her so strongly she could hear its atoms steaming. So hot it must have just escaped the crucible of a brazen bull. Light burned through her, melting her consciousness like dripping, saturated paint in water, twirling smoke swirls of thought and memory, preferences and imagination, suspended in blindingly clear liquid. bleached and burned away, eradicating her, making room for the third type of being. Here's an example of one of my paranormal micro-horrors called Mirror Mirror. Someone is living inside my mirrors. They have studied me intently my entire life. They know how I move, my mannerisms and quirks. They even breathe in time with me. However, I know it's not my reflection. Reflections ripple along surfaces, an imitation of life, not imbued with life itself. What it gets up to while I'm sleeping, I'll never know. Cameras fritz and computers die when pointing at my mirrors. Just the ones inside my home, the ones she inhabits. She keeps looking at me with such disappointment, grief, loathing, fury. Her screams release as her shards go flying. Examples that come to mind when I think supernatural or paranormal horror are The Grudge, The Ring, Poltergeist, The Conjuring, The Haunting, It, Pet Sematary, Carrie, Oculus, Gothica, The Amulet, or anything to do with a Ouija board. The second one we will delve into is psychological horror. Horror dealing with the mind. Tim Wagner defines it as, when the monstrous distortion occurs in someone's mental makeup, psychological horror focuses on a greater degree of distortion in a character's psyche, to the point where they become a monster in their thought processes and behavior. Unreliable narrators are a trademark of this subgenre. He also gives a word of caution I too think is valuable. Keep in mind that in real life, the vast majority of people who suffer from mental illness are not dangerous to others, and you should avoid portraying mental illness in and of itself as always being a monstrous distortion in your fiction. Make it clear that your psychologically disturbed homicidal characters are the exception rather than the rule. In a video essay on psychological horror by 4plus on YouTube, they give this advice. Build tension and don't release it throughout the movie or story to cause the viewer slash reader to feel as the main character does. Let scenes happen where nothing happens except building the tension and paranoia. Whether it's just talking, a black screen, we get overwhelmed as the character does. Alas, I have not yet written a purely psychological horror story yet. I should get on that. Could be fun to explore. Here's an excerpt from a short story I found called Insane by Jake4490. I found it on Quotev, Quotev.com. There was silence for a few moments. I could see the man breathing heavily, but no sound could be heard through the glass. That's the thing about silence. You expect a noise, but you don't get one. From the opposite man's room, I saw he, too, had the same door as me. Our rooms were identical. Same door, same table, same walls, same handcuffs, and it was the same door handle that turned. In this story, we don't know the twist yet, but can guess at it. Either the main character is empathetic to the distraught man across the hall from him, or, with the mirroring of everything, is the man across the hall. You'll have to read it to find out. Examples of psychological horror include The Babadook, 1408, Dark Water, Get Out, The Village, Eraserhead, Blue Velvet, Mother, Delirium, The Sixth Sense, Psycho, The Telltale Heart, and Jacob's Ladder. The third subgenre I would like to go over is cosmic horror. Helmed by H.P. Lovecraft, it's more than just tentacles. Cosmic horror utilizes the philosophy of cosmicism. According to the Lovecraft Wiki, it's defined as, there is no perceptible divine presence like a god in the universe, and humans are particularly insignificant on the great map of intergalactic existence. Just a small species projecting its own mental idolatries onto the vast cosmos, always susceptible to be removed from existence at any time. It makes clear the inconsistency of humanity and its actions. It is not the absence of the meaning of things that causes horror to its protagonists, but instead, it's the discovery of humanity's inability to change the indifferent and incomprehensible universe surrounding them that causes horror to the protagonist. Tim Wagner, in Writing in the Dark, states, "The idea is that there are unimaginably powerful and malign entities that are far beyond us, as we are beyond one-celled organisms. These entities are the true rulers of the universe, and they can reshape reality to their whims, and we are so far beneath their notice, we might as well not exist at all." A lot of times, this genre overlaps with sci-fi, but not always. While the stories may take place out in space, or have alien creatures on our planet, the main philosophy of cosmicism should be there for it to qualify for this subgenre. People go mad from knowing things they shouldn't. Knowledge of creatures like elder gods, leading the character to now grasp the futility of mankind. The endings are usually bleak, and the humans cannot come out on top, for they have no way to fight the unknowable. My 1980s Lovecraftian LARP story called Tentacles and Boomboxes takes place on Earth as the main character, a college student, creates a Necronomicon prop. The pages seem to write themselves as she becomes more and more exhausted trying to put it together in time. Pages she has not planned appear done in her style with her blood smeared across the delicate illustrations of monstrous beings, needing to be freed when the stars are aligned. I pull from the cosmicism ideas. The cult leader setting up this LARP as a way to channel the gods through the main character and receive the sacred instructions for releasing an eldritch abomination or two is squashed along with the intended sacrifices as the final being is released. For puny humans are beneath the elder god's notice. Also, the main character's descent into madness as the pages fill is a hallmark of Lovecraftian horror. Dealing with knowledge humans are not meant to know can melt the brain. Examples of cosmic horror include The Fisherman, The Croning, The Mountains of Madness, Color Out of Space, Prince of Darkness, The Thing, The Void, The Mist, The Block Island Sound, Europa Report, Annihilation, Event Horizon, The Last Wave, Possession, from 1981. And Uzumaki by Junji Ito. Number 4. Sci-fi horror. Horror where science plays a part. From earthly viruses turning us into zombies, to aliens from other planets, from dying suns needing to be reignited, to serums of invisibility, there is a wide variety of horrors to be found in this subgenre. Tim Wagner clarifies, "Science creates the monstrous distortion at the heart of these kinds of stories." In my story, Twisted Recovery, an astronaut is recovering from an alien spawn having been removed from their intestines. This led to her cravings of calcium and the growth of bone nodules along her spine. Here's an excerpt. "I'm fine. Thanks for looking out for me. But really, I just need more sleep." Her words were slightly distorted with her changed tongue, but it was barely distinguishable from a drowsy slurring. A small beeping caught her attention. Dr. Howard raised a lit-up handheld scanner to his face, having already surreptitiously taken a reading against her will. His face paled. "Lisa." Her bones shifted. The right fourth rib siphoned back, rippling and recoiling up to the nub near her spine, ripping through her skin, piercing through her clothing, and shot out towards the doctor. Her name was sliced short on his tongue as her long, thin bone stabbed straight through his neck, sending gouts of blood along the pristine metalwork of the hallway. Again, does not have to take place in space, but a few of them do. Examples are Alien, Aliens, Predator, The Invisible Man, Resident Evil, The Fly, Frankenstein, Signs, The Thing, Jurassic Park, 28 Days Later, War of the Worlds, Invaders from Mars, The Thaw, Sunshine, Event Horizon, Black Mirror. And a few books are The Astronaut, Salvation Day, Six Wakes, Blindsight, The Luminous Dead, Night Flyers and Other Stories, Who Goes There, the novella that formed the basis of The Thing, I Am Legend. Number 5. Gothic horror. This subgenre is a throwback to the 19th century, an offshoot of the Romantic movement. There is an amazing YouTube video by Tristan and the Classics called 8 Aspects of Gothic Literature. I'll list them out here. Gothic literature consists of castles or great houses, wild nature, aka windswept landscapes, untamed nature, the Arctic, the wild moors, the supernatural, ghosts, witches, vampires, possibly rationalized away, an ancient prophecy, the house will fall, metonymy, use something to symbolize something else, rain for depression or sadness, tapping tree branches on windows for someone wanting to get in, the sublime / emotional intensity, overwhelming / intensified negative emotions, terror, bewilderment, the past, can't outrun consequences and backstory, individualism / powerful central character, the hero villain, too overpowering / forceful, and confinement, trapped, isolated. Some other aspects he lists are not necessary but show up in quite a few are twins / doppelgangers, the uncanny, and women in distress. I've written a few stories that cross gothic with cosmic horror, but have also done a more gothic romance short story that involves body snatching, haunting ghosts, walking around the cemeteries, and more. The gothic aesthetic is a great one to play in. London fog, haunted buildings, old families with dark secrets. It's just so full of atmosphere. Let me read a few snippets to paint the pictures. From Snatched Ghosts. April bloomed crisp and full of promise. They met at their cemetery and went for a walk around the premises. The old stone church was grand and beautiful against the barren trees, like skeletal hands reaching to the sky for salvation. We have the overdramatic situation of lovers meeting at a cemetery for their walk, the building of a large stone church, and the symbolism of the barren trees reaching for salvation. From The Boy in the Wallpaper. The wallpaper fades to darkness as the sun sets behind the London rooftops. Their chimney smoke coats my window pane in grime and soot, shrouding the light even further. Oranges and reds peek through the small splatter of white pollution, where a pigeon had slammed into the glass and died but yesterday, its death bringing a sliver of the world to me. Dusty curtains that shrouded my four-poster bed are pulled back. Their once vibrant colors have faded from both time and exposure. The constellations adorning them are the only heavens I have seen in 20 years. The real stars cannot pierce the miasma crowning this industrious city. I miss the countryside of my boyhood. The final ray of light has risen up the wall and onto the cobweb ceiling, illuminating the dancing motes of dust. The incandescence is red and full of promise. Promise that this will be my final night. All fades to black. Here the main character is stuck in the attic of a large manor house waiting for his death, isolated. His only connection to the outside world is a small smear in the grime on the window showing the gloomy rooftops of London. The sunlight leaving is a parallel of his life leaving this night. He is as faded as his curtains. If I wanted to kick it up another notch, I could have described his pale, sunken skin and likened him to a wax figure left to melt and mold into the dusty mattress. Hindsight is 20/20. Here are a few examples of books and movies with the gothic aesthetic. The Woman in Black, Mexican Gothic, Crimson Peak, The Castle of Otranto, The Picture of Dorian Gray, Tales of Terror and Mystery, The Haunting of Hill House, The Pit and the Pendulum, The Witching Hour. We Have Always Lived in the Castle, The Fall of the House of Usher, The Turn of the Screw, The Mysteries of Udolpho, Dracula, Frankenstein, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, The Monk, Wuthering Heights, Rebecca, The Telltale Heart. So that was a few subgenres of horror: supernatural / paranormal, psychological, cosmic, sci-fi, and gothic. Just the tip of the iceberg, but lots to explore. I hope the episode sparks some ideas for new paths to explore and types of dark alterations to the world to include. Whether it be an artifact, a folklore creature, a twist in the mind, beings beyond human comprehension, darkness that may be scientifically quantifiable, or the old traditions of the Gothic. Whatever you do, have fun. Next week will be an author interview. We shall discuss the importance of sadness and horror, tortured creatures, and succumbing heroes. Hope to see you there. And remember, keep your writing spooky. You have been listening to Twisted Tendrils, Horrific Writing Advice by Laura Nettles.